Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside Carissa Cruz, President and CEO of The Wine Growers. We're here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine.
Well, yes, it is.
I wanted to say that with, you know, force
a lot
today.
I know, I felt it. I felt it. Well, it's a great day. So, and lots going on.
I know. I mean, it really starts to ramp up and fast. So we're a week away from Healdsburg Wine and Food Experience.
Literally next week at this time, folks will be out at the Grand Tasting in the middle of Healdsburg enjoying wines from over 100 different wineries and meeting a lot of the best chefs in literally the world who will be in our backyard along with some of the best chefs in the world who are in our backyard literally on a regular basis, which is pretty awesome. So HealdsburgWineAndFood.com for any last minute ticket purchases out there if you want to join us. So lots of excitement ahead.
And one of our most recent shows was with Matt Horn, who will be doing the barbecue at Dutton Ranch. What an amazing guy. I think
since
that show, he's announced a new restaurant opening. So lots of exciting things happening
with him. And he's bringing out, I remember he was talking about, I can't remember which cooker. It was either going to be the twins, which were the two smaller ones, or I can't remember what he called the big one.
I think there was like a Lucille.
Maybe. Lucille is the big one. So I'm still excited to see which version shows up, the twins or Lucille.
I think he's going to need both of, or all of them.
I mean, right?
Hungry people.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, great barbecue. What's not to love?
All right. So what else is happening with Sonoma County Wine Growers?
Well, you know, we've been busy. I was telling someone the other day, I mean, I don't think I've ever traveled so much in my 12 years in this job as I have in the past 4 months. But, you know, in the last couple of weeks, we have so much great stuff going on. I was recently in Philadelphia, back at my alma mater, University of Pennsylvania, and one of our board members and fellow Ag Center members, Virginia, you're on the Ag Center, so kind of our little think tank that supports local agriculture, invited us to present our Farm of the Future efforts alongside Professor Day and Professor Kapoor, who are our facilitators and sort of strategic support of the think tank, to the Trustees Council. So that was pretty awesome to be back at my school with one of my favorite professors who I've now gotten to work with as an adult, an alum. You know, I felt like such a kid back then. But in my career, and to sort of showcase how the school works with its alumni to still further their alumni in their careers. So that was kind of an awesome, awesome evening and conversation. And then we went and we met with the Miami Dolphins.
This is a whirlwind.
It is a whirlwind, yeah. From Philly to Miami. And we just started to talk about a potential partnership with them. So more to come, hopefully, on that front, which would be awesome. Florida is obviously a great wine market. And, you know, we're trying a lot of things in sports to see where we can find sort of that match to reach new consumers and consumers who love wine and love sports. And then probably my favorite thing I've done in the last couple of weeks, since you asked. Oh, wait, you didn't ask.
I did ask.
Okay, so thanks for asking about my favorite thing. No, my favorite thing is we were able to announce again at the end of April that our Leadership Academy of Vineyard Employees is getting a chance. So the new class, so our third class of Leadership Academy Vineyard Employees are getting to go to Washington, D.C. this summer. Congressman Thompson was at our office and personally invited them to come and host the Congressional Wine Caucus with him and fellow members of Congress. And Alaska Airlines was there to announced that they were going to donate the airline tickets again. So
incredible.
What an incredible. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's just such a special day. And we had some of our alum who had been to D.C. last year tell their stories of what it was like to get on a plane, some of them the first time flying, all of their first time to Washington, D.C., and just what a life-changing experience that was. So the new class of 20 men and women were really, really excited. So I'm excited.
I bet you are. And I want to know, though, are you going to have a T-shirt made specifically for this group?
I don't know. So, you know, they made the T-shirt for me, for the record.
Okay.
So I guess I used the word vamanos a lot because I was in charge of rounding everyone up quickly when it was time to move from a monument or time to get back on the bus or time to head to dinner. And so they, our last sort of tour at the end of the right before we went to the airport was we went to the mall so they could all buy souvenirs and, you know, get stuff to bring home to their families and their kids. And I ended up with a hot pink shirt that they made that had Vominos written on the front and this, you know, our foundation logo on the back, which is pretty awesome, which I now dry clean that shirt, which seems really ridiculous, but it's that special to me. I don't want to mess it up by washing it. So it goes to the dry cleaner.
Okay, so I guess you will be wearing that.
I will be wearing my Vominos shirt.
Maybe think about something.
I might need a new word this trip. So if I get a second shirt, it's not just saying Vominos, but who knows?
I love it. Okay, well, you have been super busy and only going to continue.
It's going to continue.
Yeah.
Right, in Healdsburg. It's so awesome.
Okay, when we come back, we will introduce our guests on The Good Stuff. Welcome back to The Good Stuff. Today, our guests are Chris Hicks, the Vineyard Manager for Weimark Vineyard Management and Trioni Vineyards and Winery, and Denise Trioni, Sales and Marketing Director at Trioni Vineyards and Winery. Welcome.
And we should just mention they're together.
Well, I just don't want it to get awkward at any point.
Can you be a little more specific? I mean, of course they're together.
Yeah,
in
they're
the
here. I'm going to let them tell the story of how they met and what the deal is. I like to clear that up when I'm here with my husband because sometimes we're talking and then he says something really odd. I'm like, we are actually married, so don't like take that out of context.
Although but, I would think there's also times you don't want that to
yeah,
be
I'm like,
clear.
I barely know him.
Right.
Feels like we just met. Yeah, how about that?
Yeah. All right. Well, Carissa always likes the backstory.
Puts
the love
it out.
Stories.
Yeah, there we go.
The
I love
detail.
The love stories. I love the love.
You do. You do. All right. So, hey, welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So we'll start there. So, I mean, Denise, obviously, you have a long family history in Sonoma County.
I do.
So tell us a little bit about that and who you are.
Yeah. Well, sometimes when I start to tell this story, I'm like, I feel like you could just push the on and off button. I get sick of hearing myself say it, but it is always super interesting just in the fact that there's kind of that longevity there. So, yeah, my dad and my uncle and my grandfather started vineyard development in the 70s, but my grandfather and my grandmother settled here post-war in Sonoma County. And my grandfather's history in Sonoma County is long and deep. And
storied.
Yes. Yeah, super proud of that, but it led into vineyard development opportunities, mm-hmm. ultimately. So yeah, that is where the vineyard and the winery portion of our history began, was with my grandfather.
And what year was that?
Oh gosh, I think River Road was purchased in 1972.
Yeah.
Hmm. So yeah, 70s.
Decades.
Yeah.
It predated that. That was they were in Bennett Valley and they probably late 60s. Early 70s.
Yeah. So 50 plus years.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
It is.
So how'd you meet this guy next to you?
Oh,
this
gosh.
Chris Hicks.
Yeah.
Who's
this?
Super lucky. I like that.
Well, so he was living in Sacramento at the time. Chris is from the Sacramento area, and we had a really close mutual friend. And one of my best girlfriends from college was one of his best friends from high school, and we met at her birthday party and dated for a while long distance. There was actually a moment there where he told me he didn't do long distance.
Oh.
I said, okay, fine. He called me 2 weeks later, and we've been together ever since.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So he was in Sacramento and I was in Santa Rosa when my family started really getting serious about the idea of starting our own wine brand. It was kind of a little bit at my prodding in the sense that I was the one of my generation that was interested in having a small family label. So I promptly quit my banking job as fast as I could. And that gave me an opportunity to move to Sacramento and be with Chris. And I got a wine job there at a really fantastic little wine shop and wine bar. And that's kind of where I started getting my training and experience. And then eventually dragged him back with me. And I really mean dragged. as our plans for the winery were shaping up and I was having to be here full time. So that's,
and my understanding is that Chris at the time was really more into in construction, correct?
Yes.
Like he'd grown up sort of in a construction family and had taken that path.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. No, I grew up father's cement mason, mom's state worker. And yeah, it really was my path out of high school was the direction was you're graduating, you're moving to Colorado, you're becoming a concrete laborer. That was the path I was kind of, that's just kind of what
Why
I expected.
Colorado?
That was my first job.
Oh,
yeah.
Colorado.
Yeah. So the.
A lot of concrete work. He worked on the runway at Denver International.
Oh, sure. That is a lot of concrete work.
That's
a good job.
Concrete
work.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the path that was laid out for me. That's what I knew. Mm-hmm. So. But I don't, I enjoyed the work and I love work. That's my one thing. But yeah, day after high school, the Saturday after, I got in my Jeep, drove to Colorado, joined the laborers union, and then started shoveling concrete from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m.
Wow.
For about 6 months. And then, continued that career path till after we met. Yeah, until I moved here and the economy took a dump.
Yeah, so that was, it really was.
From concrete to the economy going in the dump.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. And that's really what ended up happening was that he was working here for a couple of different companies, and it just really, he had been doing really large commercial construction in Sacramento. Yeah. Moving back here, there really just wasn't that. So he ended up, ultimately, the vineyard company, Vimark, had a contractor, a carpenter, I would say, on the payroll years prior. And there was having that many ranches and that many acreages, there's just so much, that kind of infrastructure. There's pump houses and employee housing and wash pads and all these things. And I mean, there was quite a punch list of work, but Chris coming from his background and with his work ethic, I would say anyone that works with him is probably finds his work ethic annoying.
Demanding, maybe.
No one can quite meet the standards. But he quickly worked his way through that list, a list that probably would have taken the previous contractor years, stretching that one out. And so then he started just jumping in with the vineyard guys. And I think by the time we had the first harvest that you had even been there, it was like, I guess I'll drive truck and deliver grapes. And it was just kind of, it snowballed from there. I'm going to brag about him a little bit. I think his construction background really kind of teed him up. It's project management, it's logistics, it's crews, but he's fluent in Spanish and he really will do the work and walk the walk, which my dad definitely saw that kind of aptitude and potential and was like, ooh, this, I think we found our guy,
Sucker.
And my daughter likes him and he could do all this work.
Welcome
to the family.
I know. And just to know that it's in hands of somebody in the family, somebody that's going to treat it really like it's their own. I have a sister and a brother. Neither of them are in the wine or vineyard business, and then I have two cousins, this is all on the Trioni side, that are considerably younger and have their own career paths. So it really did end up becoming Chris and I that were kind of like the ones of our generation that were going to be the family members caring for these endeavors as if they're our own.
And so when you both sort of decided to take this path together, what were the vineyard holdings that Trioni had?
We moved here 08, 09. And at that point, they owned, 700 planted acres between Sonoma County and Mendocino County. And then so now we're holding planted acreage in Sonoma County because we sold some stuff in Mendocino. Now 570 plantable.
Wow.
We have some stuff in redevelopment. And then my vineyard management company that I started in 2014, we also farm another, I would say, 230 acres here in Sonoma County specifically. So we've got a pretty good chunk of stuff we're trying to keep care of our own internally and outside.
That was a super smart thing that Chris did, was developing his own vineyard management company aside from the family company, because really, you know, labor is a big issue, and being able to keep your guys paid all year round and employed all year round, it's like you really do have to, you know, aside from having them just keep busy, right, keep them working and keep some income flowing in so that you can keep the wages competitive, right? Because it's such a competitive work environment. So that's been a huge help, to be able to not have this flux of, like, you know, harvest crews and then laying everybody off and then trying to find the crews again during the busy time, because it's really hard to try to find the crews if you don't keep them on your books.
And we know, I mean, just the cost of doing business keeps going up for everyone, not just in our vineyards, but for everyone. And so to even be able to afford to farm, and the equipment you need to be able to do that across more acres, I'm sure helps sort of
the cost spreading.
The sustainability kind of your overall business.
Definite cost spreading is good. And by diversifying a little bit, it's able to keep, you know, we have 60 full-time employees that work year-round. We have, we'll have the influx, like right now, we have our, you know, we bring a few extra contract crews for our shoot thinning season, and then that dies out, but a little bit, you know, but we're able to keep 60 full-time employees year-round. I shut the doors 2 weeks a year only for Thanksgiving week and the week after for, like, a harvest reset, refresh, because after harvest, you're really tired of each other.
Everybody needs it,
And when I first implemented it, everybody's a little begrudgingly tore it. But then once I got implemented year two, year three, everybody's planning around that vacation time as opposed to being opposed to it. And you come back refreshed, smiles on your faces, and ready to work again. But
that's great. And you get a break, too.
Yeah. Where did we go last year?
Nicaragua.
Oh, amazing. Trust me, some of my best days are when I actually shut the office, because even if I'm gone, if everyone else can still
reach
me,
I'm there. Yeah, you're there.
No offense, team. Yeah. Love you.
No, my phone's on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
And we have three kids, and life is super busy. And so, you know, during harvest, dad's not home as much, and I have this, call it like reentry burn when we reincorporate them into the family. So usually some time off of work and a vacation's the perfect way to do that.
That's awesome. How old are your kids?
Oh, too big. Almost 9. Our youngest daughter turns 9 this weekend. And then our son is 10 and our eldest daughter's 13.
Nice.
Big.
Do they have any interest in farming or the winery or spending time there?
I think so. Yeah, I think they do. They enjoy coming to work with me. They enjoy running, driving tractors.
I was just going to say, I know you've had to teach them how to drive tractors. That's like a rite of passage in farming, is teaching kids how to drive tractors.
I'll bring my son to work just on a Saturday, and I'll just give him the backhoe, and he takes off on the backhoe, digs a trench, jumps in the trench, fills the trench, fills the backhoe, drives the tractor back. Yeah, they get pretty much free.
Sounds maybe a little bit like you.
Yeah.
They think the vineyards are way cooler than the winery. Yeah. That's for sure.
And maybe cooler than concrete.
I love the work, but I'm also glad I found a different career path, because physically I was already a little bit beat up. I just wasn't going to make that. So my transition to vineyards has been a blessing in disguise.
So how'd you learn about farming vineyards?
Work.
On the job.
Yeah, on the job mostly. Like Denise stated, when I didn't have anything to build, I was out there working with the hand crews and talking to them about what and why and, you know, why are we doing this? And the guys have the work version, the hands-on version of what they're doing in the field. But then I also took the time and went to the JC and went to the program with Mary Lark and spent a lot of time with the JC learning how to talk to other professionals in the industry, not that my guys aren't professionals in what they're doing, but their description of it is different than if I'm going to try to go sell grapes to a grower rep or to...
So not just the what, but the why.
Correct.
Doing the different things, right?
Yeah. So that was a great stepping stone. And I've sent my guys at the JC, I have some guys that come in and they want to go through, I send them there. If they ask to go to school, we'll send them to school.
That's awesome.
And yeah, pay them is. To go.
Well, so. And the JC is such a gift. I mean, the viticultural program, Mary Lark.
Unbelievable.
I know, yeah. Padgett, yeah. Who's the main sort of teacher there now, teaching those viticulture classes. It's what a great resource in our backyard.
Yeah, it's really top notch, and I don't know that there's a better program around.
Right.
I know. Well, every time I'm in the vineyards with him, and I learn so much every time. It's like he's not just a construction guy that is, you know, applying his skills. He really is, like, the expertise he's gained. It's I learn something new every time we're out there walking around checking out the grapes.
Well, and I think that's such a great description. I mean, as you say, you have to know so many different things. Mm-hmm. I mean, people, mm-hmm. I think, often that aren't as involved in the industry simplify it, but you're doing construction, you're selling, you're managing farms, oh, yeah. You're managing right. people, the logistics. I mean, at the
managing
end of the day.
Managing winemakers.
Yeah.
I mean, that might be the hardest part.
Right? I mean, all of that. And while managing, you know, the family uh-huh. relationship and working together, which isn't always
yeah, actually,
easy.
That's the hardest part.
Yeah, maybe. Right. Yeah, maybe. Well, I wasn't going to say that. So, but since you brought it up, no. So much. It's so great to hear this side of the story.
I think we are ready to take a quick break. But when we come back, we will continue our conversation with Chris Hicks and Denise Trione. Are back on with our guests Chris Hicks and Denise Trione from Trione Vineyards and Winery and Vimark Vineyard Management, and we were talking a lot about just getting into the vineyard side of your business, but we'd love to know a little bit more about the winery side of your business. Sort of, when did you start? You mentioned that you were sort of the generation that wanted to start a winery mm-hmm. business. So
I think not even the generation, the person.
Well,
okay. In the generation,
yeah. Person within her generation.
Not to call you out, but it was like
okay. Yes. So Denise, you made everything happen. How did you make it happen?
Oh, thank you, Brittany. I'll take it. Not totally true, but I'll take it. Chris, this is the part where you can just go to sleep.
Well, so it was, you know,
folks had my dad, my uncle, and my grandfather owned Geyser Peak. They sold Geyser Peak in 1998 and just went back to growing grapes. And I think they were happy to do so. Geyser Peak was a huge winery. It was a success. They learned so much and loved every bit of it, but were, you know, kind of enjoying this partial retirement. And I actually wanted to do something at our River Road property, if you guys mm-hmm. remember. There used to be that big, beautiful barn there. Yeah. And I thought, oh, we'll do events there. I thought that sounded like fun. And it was like, well, you can't just do events in Sonoma County. You need a right. permit for, you know, wine. And I'm like, well, how much wine do we have to make? That sounds awesome. And so it kind of got the wheels spinning a little bit that there was somebody that was willing to take off with the day-to-day stuff. So we started plans to start our winery. 2005, we brought on our then winemaker, Scott mm-hmm. Covington. He started making the first vintages of our wine at a custom crush facility while we were developing winery mm-hmm. plans. You know, all the business plans, label development, really what we were going to do. But always, always, always the foundation of it was that we have all these vineyards. Let's just pick what we think is like our very best varietals and then get specific about very best sites, very mm-hmm. best clones, and only make that. At that time, we were selling 99 to 100% of our fruit to Geyser Peak, right back to him. And Chris was super smart, and I think, you know, didn't want to have all his eggs in one basket. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was really fortuitous, because slowly but surely it became evident that, you know, we were going to need to have some other homes for the grapes. So most of the, I only take, when I say I mean Trione Winery only takes, you know, 2 or 3% of what we harvest each year, and Chris sells the rest. So still today, that is the plan. So we finished construction on, 2008 was our first harvest there. We finished construction on the Hospitality of December in 2008. And then, as Chris mentioned in the previous segment, that's right about when the economy was got super slow. So we just focused on our direct-to-consumer and the tasting room and development. At that time, I think we were doing like 1,200 cases. Slowly but surely, we were starting to see some movement and get some representation out of state, which my title is, you know, Director of Sales and Marketing. It is no longer, I'm kind of, I don't even know what you to call me anymore. But we, I do have a national sales manager now, and we have a fully developed sales channel out of state, which is really fantastic to have seen that growth. So now we're at about 7,500 cases, still only taking a really small percentage of what Chris is growing for Weimar.
It's still a very small winery.
It
sounds big from where you started, but it's still tiny in the world of wine brands.
Yeah, and it's kind of been an evolution, right? Of, you know, we've been on growth trajectories, and then we're kind of like, no, we really just got to do exactly what we think is, you know, the best of what we're doing. So that's where we are today. We have a new, well, he's been with us a year, a new winemaker, John Deckett. I'm so excited to introduce his wines to the market. I keep saying it's kind of like, you know, you think your house is super clean until you have company over and then you see the cobweb or the stack of laundry we're going to put away. And that's how I feel like the winery was. Like, you know, it was beautiful wines, really happy with the quality that has always been produced, but you bring in somebody new with a fresh perspective, fresh set of eyes, and there's always room for improvement. And so this has been super exciting for us to be able to taste through the wines that are in barrel, get even a little more focused with them, like really fine-tuning barrel programs. His dream, though, John Deckett, I can speak for him, is having, because he came from Jordan. He was the assistant winemaker at Jordan, working with a lot of different, you know, growers. And he's like, I just have one grower. You mean I get to call Chris and we get to talk about, and that's it? I mean, so everybody's living their best life over there right now. It's great.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
So what varietals did you decide you really liked?
And well, you know, we just trimmed a few, and we still have, you know, I've got a lot of bottled inventory of these. Some of them, you know, it was like 2020, 2021, we stopped making like our Syrah, our Primitivo. Mm-hmm. We were doing a sparkling. We have that beautiful stone building.
Yes.
You can see it from the highway. Mm-hmm. It was built in 1908. We do a lot of, you know, private events and wine dinners and weddings there. But the really large weddings had kind of slowed down, and we were doing a brut for that. That Rack and Riddle was finishing for us. Mm. It's delicious, but just because we can make it, this has kind of been my motto, just because I can make it doesn't mean I should make it, right? Yeah. Or just because
that's a great motto.
Because I love Syrah doesn't mean we need to make and sell Syrah,
but
right?
That makes me sad.
I know.
Don't get too sad. We still have some in bottle, and then it's still in the vineyard. So, you know, now what we're doing is we're really focusing on our Sauvignon Blanc, Chard, and Pinot off of our Russian River Valley property. Yep. Our Henry's blend and our Cabernet out of Alexander Valley. And then one of the ones I bought today that we'll take a look at later is our, we call it our Flat Ridge Zinfandel. It's best described as a rock pile Zinfandel.
But it's not.
But it's not. Specific. But just kind of focusing on those and knowing that we can do those really small lots that are just for the wine club. And we have done that, you know, a Cab Franc or a Merlot. The Syrah could make a comeback down the road. You know,
the comeback kid.
Yes. You know, doing a barrel.
I'll get you a bell.
Two.
I know. I'm
going to get you a Syrah bell. Yeah. I have a bubble bell that Virginie took home with her because I use it too much.
Yes.
Ding, ding.
Yes. But by request, it is taken away.
That's cute. Yeah. So there, you know, we still have all the same great fruit in the vineyards. It's just getting kind of keeping focused.
So you talked about the events, but talk about just sort of your the guest experience when they come to try wine and the different things you offer and where you are actually physically located.
I wanted you to kind of go back to the building.
In the building, too, 1908.
So the winery is in Geyserville on Geyserville Avenue. And we've got a great little, you know, collection of neighbors around us. We're across the street from Coppola and up the road from Trentadue. And so we're right there on that, you know, path in Alexander Valley, but it really you know, the whole idea was that the stone building's the centerpiece of the winery. It was built in 1908 as a winery. It was originally the Nerva Winery, and the, you know, the railroad tracks come up right behind, and they used to pump that. The wine out of the tanks and put it on the big tanker and just send it to the valley. But today at the winery, we, you know, we take walk-ins. We do have a reservation system, but we have kind of redesigned the tasting room to have better seating experiences. Chris and his dad built a gorgeous picnic and bocce area for us. Oh, we have full regulation size bocce courts. So we have a number of different tasting experiences. We have, you know, our core estate wines. We've got library tastings. We offer cheese, tours, bocce, anything that's you could want, but it's beautiful. We've got a courtyard patio, you know, that a fountain area that's gorgeous, but then the tasting room's been redesigned to accommodate experiences and tastings. So I'm super excited to be able to offer that to guests now too.
And it sounds like folks can learn all of this at trionewinery.com.
Trionewinery.com.
And we're T-R-I-O-N-E winery.com.
Thank you. No, I appreciate that. And then we also are using Talk, T-O-C-K, for our reservation system. And that's a really great way to book ahead.
And if they want to follow along on Instagram, where do they find you?
Instagram, Trione Winery. Facebook, Trione Winery.
There you go.
What else?
Are you keeping it simple? It's consistent. Yeah. That's good. I like that. Yeah. Well, I think we're going to get to try some wines after the break, right?
We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to open some wine. Are back on The Good Stuff with Chris Hicks and Denise Trione, and I think is this our favorite moment of the show?
It is. It's like drum roll.
Wine is going to
be
open.
Love to meet them, but we prefer
if we bring wine.
Drinking with them,
well,
and meeting
yes,
them.
Yes, we do that. So I'm going to take a moment to open this beautiful bottle of 2017 Zinfandel.
That's
from
great.
Your Flat Ridge Ranch.
I picked the Zinfandel today just because, you know, I've been on the road for work recently, and it's selfish. I've really been enjoying drinking this wine.
That's not so selfish. That's awesome.
I picked the one that I wanted to drink. We called this our rock pile, not rock pile. We call it our Flat Ridge Ranch. I'll let Chris tell you a little bit about the property, but really what we have an application in right now with the TTB to be included in the Rockpile Appellation. Rockpile Peak, Rockpile Creek, and Rockpile Road are on our property. But we didn't have vineyards planted up there when the Appellation lines are drawn. So,
Interesting. I did not know that.
Yeah, but it's a great descriptor, you know, because it is technically Sonoma Coast, but really, you know, when you're talking about the flavor profile of the wine, the best descriptor is Rockpile, but I'll let Chris talk to you about the
cheers. Thanks for bringing
about the vineyard itself. It's really, really beautiful out there. It's my dad's Mark Trione. This ranch is his baby. You want to tell him about the vineyards a little
bit?
The
ranch is his baby.
Yes.
The vineyard is my burden.
Wow.
But
that means it probably produces amazing grapes. It's just a pain.
It absolutely
farm.
Does. So. It is a beautiful site. It's an 11,000 acre ranch with 9 acres of Zinfandel.
Wow.
About an hour and a half. You know, drive time to get out there. You can see the coastline from where we're at. We're at about 1,000 feet elevation literally on top of a ridgeline that used to be a runway for commercial hunting trips. They would fly into this flat ridgeline, hence the name, and drop hunters, and they'd go pig hunting or deer hunting. So when that decision was made to plant vineyard out there, it was kind of just a brainstorming idea between Mark and Victor. Our old ranch manager, Dave Lewis, was like, I have this spot. And he nailed it. And you sit on the ridge, you look left, you look right, you look down in each valley, you look just be northwest, and we have Rockpile Peak on the property. Mm-hmm. And then if you look just due west, you can see the fog line of the coast. So
it's beautiful.
It's an amazing property. It is just a bear to farm.
I imagine. And 9 acres. That's,
part of the difficulty is the location, obviously, and like the logistics, getting the guys and the crews out. And,
or any equipment.
You know, it's,
it's all logging roads.
It's all dirt roads.
All cut in logging roads for.
So super fun after a heavy rain.
Super exciting.
Or a truck full of macro bins.
24 tons of fruit out.
Bins out. No pressure.
Yeah, there's hauling a set of doubles out there. I've actually pulled guys out of the trucks, and I'm like, if somebody's going over, it's got to be me. So I'm like, I got it covered, guys, and I'll haul the fruit out, meet me at the road. And but it is a phenomenal property. It does share characteristics of the rock pile Appalachian, which we're trying to get the AVA moved.
Yeah.
But my father-in-law says, doing that is a glacially slow process.
It is. Yeah. Like anything.
And
in the government.
Yes. Yeah. So it's. We've given them a lot of data. We've got everybody on board with the AVAs, and now it's still slow moving, and now we wait.
Now we wait.
Yeah. And you just tell people it's Rock Ridge, and they believe you.
Yeah, but it's a beautiful wine, and it's been really fun to show it to people because, you know, beautiful. People are like, I don't really Zin, and, you know, they haven't had a Zin they've fell in love with in a while, and it's like, when I'm at a tasting, I force them. I'm like, if you want to get to the cab, I'm going to make you taste my Zin. And they taste it. They're like, oh my gosh, this is fabulous.
Strong arm tactics.
Yeah. And important. It works. It's always like a crowd pleaser for sure. It's delicious.
Oh, it's an excellent Zin. I mean, as you can tell, because mine's almost gone already. So while you were talking, I was drinking.
Yeah. I told you, this was a selfish selection.
It pleased this crowd.
Sure.
Well, I think we're ready to wrap up.
I know.
Unfortunately, and we've had such a nice time with you both. So thank you to Chris Hicks and Denise Triani for joining us today.
And I should give a big shout out because I didn't mention, but Chris has been on our board of directors for a number of years. So always just so appreciate our farmers that donate time back to make our whole community work better. So thank you, Chris, for that.
No, a little thank shout you guys. Out. I was glad to be invited.
Yeah, fun to be here. Thank you.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers.
Well, Carissa, another great Good Stuff Hour, I would say.
That was so fun.
It's always nice to have, it's always, any family-run business is always interesting. And then certainly how people get into the different aspects of the, you know.
And their roles and husband-wife team doing very different things. I mean, it makes it easy and complicated at the same time, I think.
But my body hurts from hearing him talk about shoveling concrete.
I know. Me too. That was interesting. I mean, what a different career path that could have been. So super glad he's in Sonoma County. Glad he's farming our grapes. Glad he's on my board. Win, 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 win.
You're just glad.
I'm just glad. Today, I'm just glad. That's going to be my word for today. Glad.
Okay, so...
more things to be glad about.
Yeah. If people
Tuesday
want
night.
To learn more about Trioni, they can go to trioniwinery.com, which we did already sort of spell out earlier, but trioniwinery.com. And Healdsburg Wine and Food...
is coming up this next weekend. So please join us, healdsburgwineandfood.com, for any last-minute tickets or VIP experiences. We hope to see you next Saturday out at the Grand Tasting.
Okay, but until then, what are you drinking on Tuesday?
Oh, so you know what I've been looking forward to is I have a bottle of Aubert Chardonnay, and I'm a big, as you know, Chardonnay fan in general, like the Aubert, and it's a 2019 Eastside vineyard from Russian River Valley. So I'm going to be ripping that cork if you'd like to come over.
I will be there. Absolutely. And what I will bring is a Bonovia Rosé.
Oh, nice. I mean, it's getting warmer. The rosés are popular right now.
Yep, Bonovia Rosé, they always do a really nice job. But I also would also like to plug the Trioni Syrah. They do make their Syrah from River Road Ranch, or used to, but hopefully we'll continue.
I know. That's our plea from the Good Stuff Show.
Right.
More Syrah, please.
Yeah.
Also, you know, and they left us a bottle of their Sauvignon Blanc. So, I mean, if we're just going to round out our Tuesday night experience, we should probably start with the Rosé from Bonovia, move into the Trioni Sauv Blanc, have a little Aubert Chardonnay, and then finish with some Trioni Syrah.
Yeah.
And then you can either spend the night or I'll get you a ride home.
My car's warm this time of year, so I could just sleep.
I would never do that to you.
I know.
But that would be quite an evening dinner pairing, I think. We should figure that out.
I think it'd be amazing. And it just goes to show you how many amazing options we have in Sonoma County.
Super blessed.
A lot of choices, all the diversity of it. Lucky, lucky, lucky.
I know.
All right.
What a great show. again, TrioniWinery.com if you're interested in visiting them. HealdsburgWineAndFood.com if you want to join us next weekend for the Healdsburg Wine and Food Experience. And you should be drinking some really good wine on Tuesday night. And if, you know, you don't have one, just come over and hang out with Virginie and I, because we've got a lot.
All right. Well, from Sonoma County to wherever you are, remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.